Well, hello, my friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Pastor Troy Brewer from Open Door Church and Troy Brewer Ministries coming at you strong from Burleson, Texas. War has broken out. It's been going on now for over a year, for right at a year, as we move into this historic time and actually prophetic time on the Hebrew calendar, Rosh Hashanah, in the year 5785. Guys, it's all happening. You can look at the headlines and it absolutely looks biblical. And I want to tell you here, guys, as we enter into episode number 78 here on The Pulse, you and I are going to stand with Israel and we're going to be all about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, because we love Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Well, hello, friends. Guys, be sure and let everybody know where it is that you're watching from today, because you don't want to miss this. We are going to be doing some shout outs. You're liable to have some brilliant questions, because I got a brilliant man with me today. Somebody that I honestly didn't imagine I would ever even be able to get to meet him. Somebody I've followed for a long, long time, Dr. Kent Hovind. And Hovind is here. And guys, when I tell you that there's not much telling where this is going to go, because we're going to talk dinosaurs, we're going to talk timelines, we're going to talk science, we're going to talk all kinds of craziness, because this guy is not only is he somebody who speaks upon behalf of the Word of God concerning how science works, but he is also a major evangelist, and can I tell you this? He's a troublemaker. And I like this guy. Now, there's joining me here are some other troublemakers. Brother Zach Rippey is here with me today.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here. Thank you for having me. I was actually in Glen Rose on Monday at the Dinosaur Valley State Park, man. That was the first time there. It was incredible. So how fitting.
Come on and see me, man.
Good timing.
I live less than 5 miles from the state park.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've got dinosaur tracks on my actual property, and I find dinosaur tracks all the time.
That's crazy.
I've got some cool creeks that run through my ranch, and I'm always going in there and turning over stuff to see if I can find something new, and that's kind of cool. I actually have a footprint of an ant, Anthracanthosaurus is what that thing is called. I don't know
that's
who named it
the
that.
Actual footprint?
So it is actually the sediment that went inside the footprint. Now, here's the cool thing. Now, I found this, and then I had my friend come over, and we took a sledgehammer to my chimney whenever Leanna was not there.
Yeah, when she was not there.
Which is so true. And we put this thing in there, and we mortared it up, and went, okay, it's perfect, it's perfect. Then I got to looking at it and went, it's upside down. It's backwards. And then we had to go in, and then we had to destroy the whole thing again, and then we had to turn it around again. So I was like, oh, man. But anyway, it's there, and that's right above my fireplace. Now, what's cool is, Zach, whenever I found this, it was when I was fasting and seeking the Lord in the year 2017, and I was fasting, and I like to do a 10-day fast at the beginning of the year. It's just something between me and Jesus, something I've done for years. And I was fasting, and, you know, I'm a fat man, and it's very hard for me to fast. I have billions of fat cells crying out, what are you doing, right? Everybody worries about the keenites, and they worry about all these other ites. I worry about the cellulites. That's the biggest enemy I have.
That is an enemy I have, too.
Oh, you don't have that enemy.
No, I do.
It's a daggum skinny. Anyway, man, when I was out there, the theme for the day that I was praying over was, Lord, expand my footprint.
Wow.
That was literally my theme, and I found that dinosaur.
Wow.
Track.
That's symbolic.
I mean, it was crazy. And so anyway, it was really big.
And he has for you for sure. Since that time. Which
he
is
has.
Amazing.
He sure has. And I'm grateful for any influence that we have, because I really do want to influence people for King Jesus, man.
Amen.
I
mean,
yeah.
That.
Amen.
Well, talking to you, what's your name? It's Shay Wilver.
Shay Wilver. Yeah. Nice to meet you.
It's great to meet you. We just saw our buddy Ron Cantor over in Israel.
Yep.
And Ron is like my biggest partner over there. And he and I are like family. You are actually like family to him.
Yep.
I think that your daddy actually did his wedding.
Yeah, he did. My father-in-law did his wedding. I know he grew up. So his wife is Israeli. When they were just dating, she was first in the States. She lived with my father-in-law and mother-in-law. And so she kind of was like a nanny to my husband. And he's got all these funny stories of them when he was little, but we love them so much. And when we see everything that was happening yesterday, I texted him this morning and said, hey, are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Do you have an update? Could you send us an update? Like, I knew that our family would, especially all of you guys, would love to hear from boots on the ground, you know, what it's like over there. And I mean, it's kind of miraculous. It was the largest ballistic missile attack in history. And there was one loss of life, which ironically was a Palestinian. And it just goes to show you, like, they don't, Iran doesn't care. They don't care who they're trying to hurt. They're trying to hurt anyone and everyone that they can. Thank God for the Iron Dome.
Those same jokers that have sworn the death of Israel have also sworn to the death of the United States of America.
Exactly.
And all Christians everywhere.
Yeah, it's our enemy that Israel is fighting.
It is our enemy. They are literally the front lines of an enemy that wants to attack us. And so we're obviously going to continue, friends, to stand with them. And we are. And I mean, we stand. I mean, we actually do. We support Israel. Well, in our food banks, we support them in our, we have built so many bomb shelters over there. We have an outreach center, an outreach center for Ethiopian refugee children and Ethiopian refugees that are old folks. And we take care of them. And we basically just back up Ron in whatever kind of madness he wants to do. And so he does tremendous outreaches to the IDF. He does all kinds of stuff. But I mean, just to think that beautiful Israel has been a war zone now for almost a year. Is really unimaginable. If you've ever been there, I've been there more than a dozen times and has probably spent probably a good 3 months of my life there. And whenever I'm there, you just cannot imagine. I can't imagine what it's like there now.
No, even in Ron's video, it was so beautiful. Right. Like, it just looks so peaceful. And then you see the night before, you know, there's just rockets lighting up the sky. It looks like fireworks. And it's crazy.
While Islam has sworn to the death of Israel and to the death of all freedom-loving people all over the world, Jesus has sworn to the life of it. And he will be coming back soon. And he's not coming back as a 6-pound baby Jewish boy. He's coming back as a King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yep.
And he's not going to be nice when he comes back.
Mm-mm. No.
And I am looking forward to his imminent and to his glorious return.
Yes,
I sure am. Well, Miss Rebecca, some say some say tomato. I say tomato. I'm so happy that you're here with me today,
Pastor.
I love you too.
Excited.
So you're going to be leading praise and worship tonight?
Yeah, I've been prepping for the past week and a half, 2 weeks prior for the set list. So I'm excited.
Well, I haven't, and you're inviting me to be with the worship team tonight.
Yeah, because
I'm like, I don't know.
It's crazy that, I mean, we didn't know all this was going to happen with Israel, and to be able to choose God of the City and greater things you're going to do was very prophetic for me. That's because cool. I've been planning it for a week and I didn't want to change it because I wasn't going to have a male vocal with me tonight. And I'm like, well, who better else to sing it than our own pastor?
Let's
and we
go.
Used to sing that song all the time with you when we were at the beginning, when I came in 2015.
I love that song.
So I think it would be great with everything happening.
We'll see if I can put it together, man. We'll see.
It's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome. And then I'm going to be preaching my 5785 word tonight.
Yes, we have that.
The preliminaries was on Sunday.
Yeah.
I led off into it. And tonight I'm going to bring the big mamba jamba. That's going to be tonight.
Can we talk about how that message from Sunday, part two, has almost 80,000 views on YouTube in just 2 days?
Crazy.
Open Door Church team, ODX team, faithful lovers of Pastor Troy in this church, please share that one to your people and get it in front of a wider audience, because Pastor Troy is one of the only ones that are actually preaching about that and teaching about that. And it's so important for the world to see and Christians all over to see the love and heart you have for Israel, as well as what the Lord has for Israel. So please share that.
Yeah.
Well, one more really cool thing that I need to share with everybody is, guys, we've rescued another two girls out of sexual slavery. We're somewhere around 11,400 kids now we've rescued.
Praise God.
This beautiful teenage girl and that beautiful teenage girl, both of those girls were slaves a week ago, literal slaves. And now they've been set free. And now, guys, they have been added to one of our forever homes, where we are raising more than 4,000 children throughout the world right now and giving them the life that they actually need. Well, guys, it's 111. Yeah, there it is. It's 111. And so it's time now for us to get to our very special guest.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I kind of freaked out yesterday when y'all told me he was going to be with us today, didn't I?
Yeah, when Rebecca told you, you were like, wait, the Dr. Kent Hovind. Like, you couldn't, he's like, he's coming on my show. We're like, yeah.
I couldn't believe it. He obviously doesn't know me because he has way too much class to be signing up with a guy.
No.
But with all that said, Dr. Kent Hovind has had a profound influence on my life because I love science. You know, I have a book called Redeeming Your Timeline. Mm-hmm. And the thing that sparked me on writing the book Redeeming Your Timeline was about 20 years ago, I started truly studying time, space, and matter. Mm-hmm. And how God Almighty interacts with time, space, and matter. Mm-hmm. and how that God doesn't come from any of those things. All those things come from him, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the very first verse in the Word of God, Genesis 1:1, mm-hmm. says, in the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. Mm. Time, space, and matter, though it was not discovered until thousands of years later, and certainly wasn't identified, and there was never a language given for that, was actually, you could find it in the very first words of the Word of God, written by a hillbilly by the name of Moses, who had been looking after goats and was barefooted and even had a father-in-law named Jethro. So there's no way, could know this stuff unless he absolutely knew God.
Yeah.
Well, where I first heard that was a clip from probably 20 something years ago. And I think that we actually have this clip here today.
We do.
Guys, mm-hmm. guys, this is our special guest today. I want y'all to watch this.
All right, your question, where did God come from, assumes that you're thinking of the wrong, obviously it displays that you're thinking of the wrong God, because the God of the Bible is not affected by time, space, or matter. If he's affected by time, space, or matter, he's not God. Time, space, and matter is what we call a continuum. All of them have to come into existence at the same instant, because if there were matter but no space, where would you put it? If there were matter and space but no time, when would you put it? You cannot have time, space, or matter independently. They have to come into existence simultaneously. The Bible answers that in 10 words. In the beginning, there's time. God created the heaven, there's space, and the earth, there's matter. Your question, where did God come from, is assuming a limited God. And that's your problem. The God that I worship is not limited by time, space, or matter. If I could fit the infinite God in my 3-pound brain, he would not be worth worshiping, that's for certain. So that's the God that I worship. Thank you.
Look out, look at the mic. That is a mic drop moment. Good. Guys, listen, this guy is joining us today, and he is in Alabama right now. And let's just bring him on. Guys, this is Dr. Kent Hovind. Hello, sir.
Hey, good to be with you, brother.
Okay, listen, we wanted to bring up just a whole bunch of clips because some of my favorite stuff. But this right here, sir, that was actually when I first heard that, or I don't know if it was that precise clip, but when I first heard that, it spun me off into a way of knowing the Lord that I had never done that before. And I want to just tell you, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for that.
Okay. Thank you. Spread it around, brother.
Okay. Man, I'm trying. Okay. Well, we have you here today, and I was telling you that I live in big time Glen Rose, Texas, and you know something about that.
Oh, been there. Love it.
I bet you have. And you know Dr. Carl Ball as well.
Oh yeah. Good friend of mine. Great guy.
He is a great guy. And so the Creation Museum there, you know, you have the audacity to be a Christian that actually believes that the Bible is real and the Bible is literal.
Amen. I believe it from cover to cover. I even believe the cover on mine. It says, Kent Hovind.
Okay, tell us, because I know that I believe that you were a science teacher for something like 15 years or something like that. Am I making that up or did I hear that?
No, it's correct.
Yep. Okay, mm-hmm. Right on. And so
I'm seeing two pictures of me. That's big of me, isn't it? I don't want to do that in Alabama. Is that you, sir? Okay, all right.
No, you're good over here.
You're good.
Yeah, okay. You're definitely good on our end of things. So did you have any idea as a young man? Well, let me just say this. When did you know that this was your ministry? And when did you know that you were anointed to do this and when did you know that? Because up until you showed up doing this, I'd never seen anybody doing what you do.
Well, brother, I'll be 72 in a couple of months, January. And when I was 16, I gave my heart to the Lord and got saved. I was raised in Illinois, East Peoria. My dad was a sergeant in the Marines, World War II, only survivor of his platoon. And I was raised in a family of engineers and teachers, and I loved to learn. I loved to learn. Read the whole encyclopedia set when I was in fifth grade. You know, just I loved to learn. But then when I was 16, somebody said, Kent, are you going to heaven? I said, I don't know. I've been baptized, catechized, circumcised, homogenized, pasteurized. You know, what else you got to do? And so they ended up leading me to Jesus Christ. I gave my heart to the Lord and got saved. Started reading my Bible. You don't have to read very far, 5 chapters, and you start coming across numbers. And I like math. I taught math and science 15 years. It says Adam was 130 when Seth was born. And Seth was 105 when his son was born. So I made this chart showing all the how old they were before the flood came. The people lived to be 900 years old.
Yes. Yes.
That's what it says, Genesis 5. After the flood, you go to Genesis 11, and it picks up the story again with more dates. And it tells how long they've been. It dropped off to 400, then 200, then 100. And today, hardly anybody makes it to 100. But anyway, as I began reading my Bible as a new Christian, I realized this book teaches the earth is about 6,000 years old. I'm being taught in school the earth is billions of years old. Somebody is seriously wrong. And that led to so many questions for me as I struggled as a young Christian. How do you justify this? And if the earth is 6,000 years old, how do you explain dinosaurs? And how do the light from the stars get here? And how do we explain carbon dating and potassium argon dating and rubidium strontium dating? And it just raised a lot of questions. And I think I got them all answered now. I believe the Bible is true. And I've got a video series, 18 hours, going through all kinds of stuff on that topic, $50 for the whole thing. Brother, when I started my ministry 35 years ago, full-time on creation, I used to loan my videos out. I learned right away, Christians don't steal, but they borrow and never return. You can't borrow it. You may buy it for $50. When you're done, bring it back, get your $50 back. That's the way we've done it for 35 years. But this series, I talk pretty fast. I'm a Yankee, by the way, you Texans. All you Texans, they did win the war, you know. But I'm in Alabama now, so I can't say that too loud.
Exactly.
But I should talk about, you know, the age of the earth, the Garden of Eden. What was it like? Where do dinosaurs fit into the Bible? The lies used in the textbook to teach evolution, the dangers of evolution, why this theory not only stupid, it's dangerous. The Hovind theory, what was the Garden of Eden like? Why did they live to be 900? Stuff like that. So I really, as a 16-year-old, gave my heart to the Lord and was faced with a lot of questions. Then I read all the books by Henry Morris and Duane Gish and all the great creationists and Carl Baugh. And I realized, man, the Bible's true. But I realized right away, these guys are really smart and they use all the big words, you know. We need somebody who's got the teacher in them to dumb this down and make it simple where everybody can understand it. So I've always lived by the philosophy, FNAFI, find a need and fill it. What's the greatest need you see? I was asking a pastor one time, I said, brother, what do you think God wants for me? What do you want me to do? He said, well, take a look at what he gave you. I would say it's pretty clear he doesn't want you to be a mother. Okay. Oh, yeah, it's okay. What do you have? I think God gave me the gift of explaining complicated things in a simple manner, the gift of teaching. And so I saw a great need for somebody to explain all the creation stuff and dinosaurs in fourth grade level where everybody says, I get it. That's easy to understand. Wow. And so that's my calling in life, I guess. That's what I've been doing now since 35 years anyway, 1989. When I moved to Pensacola in January of 89, the neighbor kid said, hey, would you like to take the paper? I said, no, I don't have a parakeet. That's all it's good for, by the way. And so he had an extra once in a while. He'd throw it in the yard. And one came in one day, and I picked it up, and it said, dinosaur bones found in Montana from 80 million years ago. I said, somebody's got to do something about this. So I wrote my first ever letter to the editor, Pensacola News Journal. I said, these dinosaur bones they found are one that drowned in the flood in the days of Noah. The earth is not millions of years old. Dinosaurs always lived with man. They called them dragons or some other name. They did not live millions of years ago. Well, they published my letter and started a war in Pensacola.
Wow.
Atheists writing in and me writing back and forth. You know, finally, after a few months, the students at the University of West Florida called me and said, Mr. Hovind, would you come debate our anthropology professor? He's reading all your letters to the editor in class. And he disagrees. I said, guys, I've never had a debate in my life except with my wife. And I lose those every time. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do. I know all about it.
Okay. And so I did my first ever debate, about 1,200 people there, I think. I don't know. And a bunch of pastors were there. I slaughtered the poor guy. I thought, they can't all be this simple. And a bunch of pastors said, wow, would you come share this at our church? Well, I was doing construction at the time, putting the wife through school and the kids through Christian school. And I said, sure. I began traveling full time. I went to 37 countries, all 50 states. I preached 900 times a year, teaching simple lessons on science and the Bible. I've now done 367 debates against atheists. I got 5 more scheduled this month. But if you know any evolutionists out there, bring them on.
Oh,
that debate! You showed that clip you showed was me taking on 3 atheists at once at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University. That one smart aleck professor said, "Where did God come from?" And that was part of my 2-minute answer that you played. It's got 900 million views.
My
on YouTube.
Good.
Wow. I tell people, I want to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. When you get done watching my videos, you're going to say, wow, the Bible is true. And then about a week later, you're going to sit up in bed in the middle of the night and say, oh, no, the Bible's true. Mm. Oh, no, this changes everything. Yes, sure. And it does.
You know what? You have made a profound influence on the rest of us. And one of the things, you were one of the first people I ever heard talk about human beings and dinosaurs being contemporaries and living at the same time. And I knew that to be true. I knew it was true. And the reason why I knew it was true is because I grew up right outside of Glenrose. And when I was a little boy, we would go to the Paluxy River, and there was all these dinosaur tracks that were inside the stone there. And there was also human tracks that went side by side. And that was not controversial until the 1970s, whenever evolution started being taught into all of our school systems. And then consequently, the state of Texas actually bought the big piece of land there that the majority of the dinosaur tracks are on. And then they came in, and the first thing that they did when they took over was they destroyed the human tracks and they removed them. Well, those of us that were locals, we actually knew, we're like, we were all hillbillies and we all called them caveman tracks. We're like, where's all the human tracks? Where's all the caveman tracks? They even had signs up there that said, you know, brontosaurus tracks this way, anthracanthosaurus tracks this way. And then it said caveman tracks that way. And they were all in the same stone. That they completely changed the narrative. And then they destroyed the evidence when they made it a state park. And for those of us that were local, we knew that to be true. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, there's only two options. Somebody made the world, or the world made itself.
There you go.
Nobody's thought of a third option. If somebody made the world, that would mean he owns it, and he gets to make the rules. They don't like his rules. So they will choose to believe the absolute stupid idea that the world made itself with evolution. And they want to destroy any evidence that goes against their theory. Evolution is actually a religion. There's nothing scientific about it. It's a religious belief. And so they're defending their religion just like the Muslims are defending their religion over there in Israel.
That's correct.
They want to kill anybody who disagrees. Those who believe in evolution want to destroy any evidence to the contrary about creation.
And there's a great hostility. I'm talking about they are hostile. And you have been on the front end. You've had a front row seat for the hostility of these evolutionists. And I mean, Dr. Carl Ball has suffered in incredible ways. They make fun of him. They do all kinds of stuff. They do protests. And Dr. Carl Ball is one of the smartest guys walking around on the planet Earth. Man. I mean, this you talk about a 50-pound head. This brother is a genius, man. And again, just being somebody, a local little rural kid that grew up in the midst of all that and knowing this is true. I mean, this is the fact. And then seeing what is presented as a fact have been two different things. Now, I have had the great opportunity to go to the Royal Observatory in London several different times. And I'm a big nut about science and all those kinds of things. And then I went to Westminster Abbey, and I went and saw Sir Isaac Newton's grave. And there it is. It's beautiful, and it's all in its grandeur. And then right at the feet of it, it just says Darwin. It just says Charles Darwin. I want to just tell you, I think that evolution, not only is it a joke, but it is a sad joke. I think it's one of the worst things that has ever happened within societies throughout the planet Earth is the theory of actual evolution.
I tell people it's the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of the world. My video number 5 talks about the dangers of evolution. You get the whole series for $50. When you're done, return it, get your money back. Matter of fact, you can get 10 sets for $300 and give them out for Christmas presents if you call quick. So the dangers of evolution. This theory is the theory responsible for Adolf Hitler. Mm. Why did he kill the Jews? He thought they were an inferior species. Mm-hmm. It's Darwin's book, The Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Darwin was really a racist. His book strongly influenced Adolf Hitler. He said, man, if one race is superior, it's really best if the inferiors are killed off so the superior race can have more living space. Mm. And so he thought, I've got Hitler's list in my video number 5. So the list Hitler was using: blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegian at the top. That's me, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Norwegian. And then German. And then he had all down the list with Jews at the very bottom. He said, we need to eliminate all the Jews. And then right above that was blacks. He hated blacks. We're going to eliminate them next. Hitler did what he did because of his belief in evolution. So I really poured on in video number 5, the dangers of evolution. And I was sitting there at my house in Pensacola, Florida, getting ready for a sermon. and a SWAT team came into my house, burst in there, said, "You're under arrest." I said, "For what?" "Structuring." I said, "What is that?" They told the SWAT team members, "Go around the house, get every DVD number 5 you can find." They put me in jail for 9 years for nothing, for video number 5, The Dangers of Evolution. We could tell you all the story about that. One guy did a video series on my going to prison. He said, "Kent, you didn't break a single law. They broke 100 laws to put you in prison." Wow. Go to Brighton, in the middle of my screen there. Kent Hovind Official has the whole series. You can watch it for free on why I went to prison. It was evil what they did. He said, half the Bible's written from prison, so I guess I'm in good company.
Oh, no.
Well, here's what we're about to do. We're about to go behind the veil, and behind the veil is exclusive for our members at odx.tv. And the reason why we do that is, number one, we actually do try to raise money through partnerships so that we can continue to save boys and girls out of sexual trafficking all over the planet Earth. We've been doing that for 30 years. We did it way before it was cool to do such a thing. Mm-hmm. But then we also raise these kids, and it's like we do, it's the tip of the spear of all things Troy Brewer Ministries and Open Door Church. But we also do this too because censoring is a very real issue. And we take this off of all of our social media platforms, and then we go behind the veil and it's private. And so I would encourage everybody that is watching on odx.tv to stay where you're at. For all of our other friends that are watching all over the world, and I'm talking about there's a lot of people that are mm-hmm. watching. I mean, I've already seen more than a dozen nations that have been on here.
South Africa, New Zealand, Central California, San Diego. Yeah, all over the place.
Tampa.
Thank you.
That's Tampa from.
Also.
Tina.
I didn't know you were from Tampa.
I am from Tampa, yeah.
What'd you, they throw you out?
No, we moved here in 2018.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so for all my friends that are watching all over the planet Earth, if you want to watch the rest of this, we're going to go behind the veil. We're actually going to talk about this censorship and how that this is considered dangerous hate speech today when you actually say that evolution is a joke. And if you want to hear the rest of that conversation, come and join us at stage 2 or the stage 3 level at odx.tv, or you can call the number that's on the screen, 877-413-0888. Right on.
Yes, sir.
What else do I need to tell these cats?
You could go to odx.tv, and if you're not yet a stage 2 or stage 3, sign up today because you are being a media missionary. Don't forget to comment, like, and ring the bell on YouTube, because when you do that and you share and you repost, you are being a media missionary.
Okay.
So we're ready.
Okay. Well, guys, let's go behind the veil with Dr. Hovind. Here we go.